Call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. It's 9 a.m. We're in the Capital City Senate Finance meeting. Present are Chairman Stedman, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Cronk, and Senator Kaufman, myself, Senator Hoffman. We have a quorum to do business. Today we have one item on the agenda, which is another three-year budget outlook update, factoring in several other finance issues that have come to us since then. So I'd invite Alexi Painter, the Director of Ledge Finance Division, to the table to give us this update. Mr. Painter, please identify yourself for the record and give us the good news.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Alexi Painter, I'm the Legislative Fiscal Analyst. So not a whole lot has changed since the last time I was here, but the most significant is the spring revenue forecast. So this is a fiscal summary showing the governor's amended budget with the spring revenue forecast. It also incorporates amendments received through last week. I think the previous fiscal summary didn't have those yet. In FY25, the governor added three amendments that had a UGF impact, and we see that down here on the governor's supplementals line. That's up to $91.4 million. It was previously, I think, about $84 million in the last version. In FY25, the spring revenue forecast had almost no change. It was less than $1 million difference. So the deficit before supplementals in FY25 is $81.1 million. I think it was about $400,000 less before, so pretty much the same, or $400 more before. So it's pretty much the same. With the larger supplementals, now we're looking at a deficit in FY25 projected to be $172.5 million. When you include supplementals. In FY26, the revenue forecast is down just about $70 million, representing $2 a price, as well as a few other changes that mostly kind of net out. The agency operations number from the governor is a little bit up due to his amendments. The amendments we received last week included three bargaining unit contracts. We expect six more are due to be renegotiated this year, so we're about a third of the way there. And this incorporated the Alaska Correctional Officers, one of the university unions, and then the teachers of Mount Edgecombe team union. So that number is up by about $16 million. The other numbers are unchanged. So that results in a larger deficit, so adding to the budget and then reducing the revenue. We had been looking at the beginning of session, about a $1.5 billion deficit with the governor's budget. Now it's up to about $1.65 billion. The difference from the beginning of session to now is the governor's amendments and the several amendment packages and then the lower revenue forecast. So post-transfer, the deficit in the governor's budget is $1.655 billion. That would draw over half of the remaining balance of the constitutional budget reserve. We estimate that's about $3 billion today. So after drawing the FY25 deficit, that brings it down a little below $3 billion, and then drawing that FY26 deficit, if we follow the governor's language, would draw over half of the remaining balance of the fund.
So just an update for the committee. We've been working with the other body to try to address the FY25 budget. Hopefully within the next 30 days we can work with this committee and see what we can come up with. The initial thought is that since the budget was voted on by the last legislature, and it was their position to try to fund the gap with the constitutional budget reserve account, and what resulted was we had lower than expected prices for oil and lower throughput that resulted in the deficit. So continuing with that process and using the funds, there was no not adequate funds in given in that budget as a draw for the CBR. The other items we are looking at are some of the traditional items in the supplemental contracts, fire suppression, corrections, just to mention a few. So that probably will be coming before this committee in the near future. This is to try to address the FY 25 deficit and get that resolved so we can continue to work on FY 26. It's still going to be a challenge, as everyone can see. Every time we have an update, the deficit continues to grow. So that is the challenge that this committee and the other body will be facing in the days between now and I think tomorrow is going to be the 60th day, so we'll have about 61 days to get our work done. Does any finance members have any questions? Senator Stedman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, are you looking at putting any headroom in this $172 million FY25 deficit in case we have slippage of revenue or other surprises between now and end of June?
Yes, we are going to put some. That is, the amount has not been determined at this point, but we don't want to end up with in a scenario that that we short fund the FY25 budget again, which would necessitate the legislature coming back into a session to address the issue. Thanks for bringing that up, Senator Stedman. Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Painter, for that update. Even though it's not good news, it keeps us up to date on presenting to the committee the work that we have in front of us. With that, we are adjourned. Oh, wait. Okay, there's more slides. Sorry about that.
Sure, I thought it was getting off easy to say. On slide.
Legendary efficiency.
Okay. We're only on page 2. We don't have too many slides. So this slide you've seen before, there's a slight update here on the second line, which is showing the version of House Bill 69 that passed the other body. We do have official fiscal notes for that now. Before, we were kind of looking at estimates as the amendments were coming in. The number went up a little bit. Some of that is just due to amendments that came through that we didn't have a cost for. The department has established a cost for them. Some of the difference is actually just that they have kind of a simplified long-term way they project the K-12 formula that I think ours incorporates a little bit more moving pieces than theirs does, but either way, we'll use the official fiscal note for this. So that raises that cost in FY27 and 28 a little bit and slightly in FY26. So, you know, as we look at that fiscal summary with the deficit, I think it's important to recognize that that doesn't include any additional funding for K-12. The governor has his own bills. The House passed a bill that's currently in the Senate Education Committee that would cost about $275 million a year. And then this committee has asked us to look at an amount of increase equivalent to last year that's about $172 million plus money for the pupil transportation formula. So when you look at that governor's budget deficit of $1.65 billion, you know, if you add somewhere $100 to $200 million or $275 million, that would be added to your deficit under the governor's scenario if you adopt that legislation or some outside the formula money. So getting to the budget scenarios, so this is similar to what we saw before. The difference between this scenario that we saw a week ago and this version is the spring revenue forecast and then the governor's March 13th budget amendments. So that the kind of policy choices that the co-chairs made didn't change, but then with those two items changing, that increases the overall deficits. So on slide 5, you can see those impacts on lines 1 and 2, putting in the spring revenue forecast and the governor's amended budget, including the March 13th amendments. That results in, before you get to the capital budget and PFD, about $1.1 billion remaining, so that's down from what we saw before. All of these items are the same. One thing I'll just remark on quickly is that placeholder for new contracts. We've gotten some of the contracts, but we're leaving our placeholder as is because as the contracts have been coming in, they are higher than the percentage that we had used as our sort of baseline. You know, in the absence of better information, I had tried to calculate the estimate for what we would need for new contracts based on 3% increase because that's what's in the supervisory unit union contract. That's the largest contract that's maintaining through this year. And we knew that the university, their agreement was 2.75% most likely, you know, if the university administration got their way, which they did on that number. So that one was kind of known. But the others, we had estimated 3%. The two ones that we've gotten so far have been the correctional officers at 11% and then Mount Edgecombe teachers at about 5.6%. So they've both been above that. And the reason for that really has to do with the timing of these contracts. So the correctional officers were actually up last year. They did not reach an agreement last year, so they had a 0% increase in FY25. Meanwhile, other unions that had an agreement in FY25 saw significant increases. The supervisory union received a 5% increase plus a step that's equivalent to another 3 1/3% or so. And then they got 3%. So if you add what the supervisory union got between FY25 and 26, it's actually more than the 11% in 1 year that correctional officers are getting. So that number, 11%, sounds really big and scary. Again, they had a 0% increase in FY25, so it's really 2 years of increases. The other factor to think about is as these unions come in, when they were negotiating back in 2022, their current contracts, their 3-year contracts that were going FY23 through 25, the big inflation year was calendar year 22. So a lot of them did not know the extent of inflation. So they signed 3-year contracts that maybe did not actually keep up with the true inflation we experienced that year. This contract will adjust for that. And so we're seeing, you know, in the at least in the Mount Edgecombe one and potentially in some others that are come forward, I wouldn't be surprised to see more than inflationary increases because they're trying to make up for the inflation they didn't get with their last contract because of the timing. So again, we're going to keep the $40 million even though we've already added some of the contracts. I don't know if that number's right. It may be very low. It may be high at this point. It's very difficult to say, and I think as we've seen these contracts come in, they've been more variable than I think my placeholder could account for. So that having been said, the other option items here are the same. So we're still reflecting a $680 BSA increase, additional pupil transportation formula matching last year, an amount for community assistance needed to match the total $30 million distribution, $10 million for child care, an amount for fire suppression and the disaster relief fund that get to about an average usage of those funds in a year, matching last year on the Alaska Marine Highway System backstop, and then a $350 million capital budget and $20 million for kind of miscellaneous additions that may come in. And then finally, a PFD at 75% of the, or 25% of the percent of market value, which would be about $1,400 per person. So that scenario results in about a $450 million deficit before factoring in future supplementals. We've long used a $50 million placeholder for that, although you see this year we're at $90 million, so that may be a little low, but that's kind of been our longstanding number. So if you add that in, the deficit for FY25 or FY26 in this scenario is a bit over $500 million.
Any questions on this slide? Please proceed.
Okay, so next we'll turn to the House finance scenarios. So the House finance co-chairman did a similar exercise before the spring forecast, before these latest amendments. back on March 5th. So it's a little bit dated. So the Senate Finance Co-Chairs have asked us to kind of update that scenario with some of these newer pieces of information. They had five dividend scenarios that were presented. They've asked to see the fifth scenario, the balanced budget PFD. And they, again, if you want to see all the scenarios, you can look at the meeting documents for that. But they were the 75-25 dividend that matches what's in the Senate scenarios, some fixed dollar dividends, the statutory approach, and then the balanced budget. So this modified version uses the amended budget and the spring forecast, and then the House passed version of HB 69, the education bill, rather than the version they had used, which was before amendments had been added, that increased the cost by about $22 million. So when we make all those adjustments to their scenario, this is, the balanced budget scenario, you see the spring revenue forecast and the governor's amended budget. Foundation formula amount is the total amount for House Bill 69. Most of these policy choices here were pretty similar to the Senate version, so I won't go over them too much. The big difference is having fire suppression and disaster relief fund matching the governor's numbers, which are below the long-term average. And then the other changes placeholder is $40 million, which is a little bit larger than the Senate's. I would note that the House subcommittees closed out with about a $41 million increase over the governor's budget, but that included funding for child care that's included up here on line 8. So if you were trying to net all those things, really that $40 million would come down a little bit, maybe $5 million to where they are in their CS, their first CS. We'll see their subsequent CS in the following days that may change that number again. So then this is the balanced budget PFD, so whatever PFD would result in a balanced budget with these other items. In this version of the scenario where these other items have been increased, that's $406.3 million, or about $570 per recipient. So, Okay. So going on to the three-year version, so we'll start with the Senate version. Essentially, it's taking that one-year scenario and then keeping those policy choices over the next 2 years. So agency operations in the capital budget are assumed to grow with inflation from FY26 levels, except Medicaid is shown with a 4.5% growth rate based on the MESA report that this committee heard. And then also in FY28, there's an added $66.5 million for the Alaska Marine Highway system. That's, we're currently relying on federal funds in that amount, plus the $10 million that's filled with backstop. That federal funding is due to expire after FY27, so it's assumed to be filled with UGF. And again, that supplemental placeholder. So when you apply that, we have that same deficit in FY26. We talked about $504 million. Across the 2 years, FY25 and 26, that's $677 million. That's essentially the hole that this legislature needs to deal with, or that this particular session needs to deal with. In FY27, the deficit is a little bit higher because revenue grows, but so do expenditures at roughly the same rate, so it's fairly close. In FY28, revenue grows a lot slower because if we go back about a month in our presentations, we talked about the POMV draw working in that big year in the average. We see the POMV draw a lot flatter between 27 and 28. And so looking at a smaller increase in revenue. And at the same time, the forecast is for prices to go down to $66, so a downward price trajectory on oil prices. That results in a bigger deficit in FY28 of $728 million. Again, this is based on just sort of growing with inflation, except for Medicaid, and then adding that AMHS funding into FY28. That's the other factor in the deficit getting larger that year.
Please proceed.
Okay, so then in the House version, again, this is showing their version with the other scenarios that has the balanced budget PFD. And the way we calculate that balanced budget is based on appropriations that session, so the supplementals aren't factored in. And so you result in, after supplementals, a $50 million deficit each year. And so with this scenario, very similar budget scenario to the last one, but then balance budgets each year. But you can look at that PFD number to see that it would be relatively level between 26 and 27 and then drop significantly in FY28, again, because for the same reason that the deficit grew in that previous scenario. So if you're using the PFD to fill the deficit, then smaller PFD that year.
And the line 11, I think, is probably the most problematic line, because you see the dividend that we funded in last year's budget, this current year, $1,702. And you look at FY28's dividend of $310, and everyone can see that in a decade, we would probably, following this type of a budget approach, the dividend would be eliminated, and that is certainly problematic to many people in the building. We are looking at additional revenue sources at this time, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done after we get through FY25's budget. So any other members have any additional comments? Senator Cronk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know we've talked about the PME draw, so what scenario would these numbers be if we actually lowered it to 4.5 versus the 5.0 draw?
Through the chair, Senator Cronk, so lowering the POMV draw by 0.5% increases the deficit by about $400 million. And then if in this version where you're not basing the PFD, or sorry, did I say increase or reduce the deficit? It increases the deficit by about $400 million. If you are using this scenario where the PFD does not depend on the PFD or the POMV draw, then that's just a $400 million deficit increase. If you're using the 75-25 approach, you then have also a $100 million reduction in the PFD, roughly. So you can sort of do that rough math. Because the POMV draw is $3.8 billion growing to about $4 billion, so just doing the rough math, it's about $390 and then, or $380 and then growing to about $400 million. If you did
Senator Cronk. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Cronk. Senator Stedman.
Just to follow up on that, when you move the payout down, you lose in the short run on your cash flow, as referenced here, $350, $400 million. But in the long run, you'll get growth out of your asset that'll compensate that over the next several years for future generations. So it comes down to the immediate short-term cash flow loss versus the long-term gain in market value of your asset.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Additional comments or questions from members of the committee? Again, there's a lot of work to be done between now and the end of the session, so stay tuned. With that, we are adjourned. This time we are adjourned.